What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude,
go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
And you guys can hate us, but guess what? We're going to get God again. Like, something will happen to us, you know, eventually, and they'll be like, remember the Ravens thing? Well, fuck you. And then we'll be back. What is that? What's up?
Hey, Ravens fans. Relax. See this custom little cigar holder that the boy got me for one of my birthdays?
That was a Christmas gift.
Was it Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely. What did you get me for Christmas this year?
It's here. It's here. Yeah, I swear to God. I told you. I said it was going to be here mid-January.
But it's the year's past.
No,
it's mid-January. 2020, I tore my ACL and you don't even fucking have it.
I did, and it's going to be sick. You're going to love it.
Are we rolling?
Yep.
That's why you guys are fucking getting it. I like that. What's that? This thing?
The other one.
Oh, this thing? Those are my fucking communication beads, dude. I put these beads on and I just get better at communicating. It helps me. Helps me transition. Big thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we know you. Let your parents let you watch the show. Your boys got some food here. I don't know how that's going to go during the podcast, but we just want to say welcome to Bustin' with the Boys, brought to you by Barstool Sports. A lot of things have been happening. Yes, that is fair. I would clap. The energy is a little great. That was not great to start with. I didn't like that one.
You need more reaction from the crowd, dude. Tanner,
yeah.
You're not here for anything else but like camaraderie and vibes.
Yeah.
So Tanner, need you to bring it.
Tanner Tignini has joined us on the bus today. He's a childhood friend of mine. I've known him, probably my oldest friend. I said to him last night, I think I've known him longer than I've known anybody else in the history of my life. So that includes my parents. So I can tell that says a lot about where we've been. But, yeah, lots happened this week.
I'm sorry I'm not chiming in.
Oh, no, it's all right. You got to light your little cigar. Will's got a new flex, and that's just smoking a stogie on the bus. So I'll just get a contact high, and I hope I don't get the C word. I hope the C word doesn't creep up on me because of your...
A lot of things to celebrate.
Oh, we're just going to glance over the C word, aren't we? We're moving on.
I felt like you were going, and yeah. You know... You needed something to chime in.
Nope.
A lot of celebrating to do with the cigar.
There's a lot of celebrating to do. For first things first, the haters, they got a GI bug, dude. They
fucking
sick.
Let's go them second. We can't give them the clout to be in first.
Oh, what's going on?
Arthur Smith.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
Hit your boy Arthur Smith, dude.
Arthur Smith. Let's just paint a picture for you guys. It's 2014. Arthur Smith has been with the Tennessee Titans since 2011. A young stallion walks in, a clean cut, shaved Taylor Lewan walks in the door. Dreams, aspirations, goals. Arthur Smith is one of the boys that you want to hang out with. You want to be around a little bit, but there's one small problem. Arthur Smith is one of the guys that holds the ball that you're supposed to attack during OTAs. Now, let me explain that a little bit more. During OTAs, when Ken Wisenhunt's greatest tenure here was going on, he would have guys in the corner of the end zones holding the ball up, and we would have to sprint. And then it was our job to punch at the ball, to try to punch the ball out. Now, Arthur Smith happened to be one of those guys. And Arthur Smith got the fucking hands every single time your boy stepped across that goddamn line. And he let go of that motherfucker every single time. And
now he was a QC then, right?
Yeah.
What was he then?
I don't even know what it is. He was like the assistant to the assistant tight ends coach. And like he was doing bitch work like no one's business.
Yeah.
But that just shows the kind of guy that Arthur Smith is. He steps, he takes steps. Stairway to Heaven, you ever heard that? Apparently his heaven is out of the Atlanta Falcons. Because he has stepped into a new universe.
Dude, I'm stoked for him, man. No one
deserves it more.
There's not a lot of people. Yeah, you did. You beat me to that. I was holding on that, though, because I was going to say no one deserves it more. It does seem like there's a lot of deserving head coaching candidates out there.
Yeah.
But I am so fired up for Arthur Smith because we know the type of guy he is. We know the cloth he is cut from.
Yes.
The dude, you wouldn't know it unless you go back and listen to our Bustin' with the Boys episode. It wasn't even a fully released episode. It was like when we did the highlights, the 17 minutes, we only did highlights of the episode. When we weren't shit. Arthur was one of the first five that came on the bus and gave us, you know, just the life of being a coach. Right. And we found out and learned that he was the son of freaking FedEx owner and what, billionaire probably, whoever his dad is, Mr. Smith.
There's no probably about it. He's absolutely.
Yeah. I was trying to.
I don't know why even pretend.
But you wouldn't even know that about him. You just learned a lot. Like, I don't know. I just love Coach Arthur Smith. I referred to him as Coach BDE because when we started saying Big Dick Energy this year, he would always come up like walking in the halls and be like, let's bring that Big Dick Energy today. And it just fired you up, dude.
Yeah.
He's just about it. And he's about the boys. And Atlanta, you're going to love him. The players, you guys are going to love Coach Arthur Smith.
You guys are. I have a huge vendetta against Atlanta. I think I've talked about it before. But
what's the vendetta again? I have CTE, so you can explain it to me.
Yeah, the vendetta is
and we have new listeners.
Oh, why? In 2014, when the boy was getting ready to get drafted, Atlanta Falcons sent a guy on a jet to come see your boy. Strolled on into Scottsdale, Arizona, and said, hey, if you're there at number 6, get your bags packed because you're coming to Atlanta. Literally verbatim. Verbatim.
Get your bags packed.
If you're
packed
there at 6... Have your bags packed. Not get your bags packed. Have your bags packed because you're coming to Atlanta. So I said, let's fucking go.
I'm stoked.
I'm a dirty bird.
Hot Atlanta, dude.
Oh, my God. I was stoked about it. Loved the uniforms. Loved Arthur Blank, the owner. The guy literally looks like he is an absolute drug lord. He's unbelievable. He looks like the head family in The Sopranos. Like that type of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So 6 rolls around and the phone starts ringing. Only issue is it's 2 fucking tables over and it's Jake Matthews. All right. Now, Jake's had a nice little career. All right. Love him. He comes from the roots, the Bruce Matthews who played here for 76 years. It seemed like countless all pros, countless Pro Bowls. That has been a day that goes by that I haven't thought about burning down the whole city of Atlanta, though. You know what I'm saying?
How about now?
A little
bit
of arson cures all the issues. You're going to hotbox me out of here. I don't know how Ocho Cinco could come and smoke. No problem, and it never got this smoky.
Yeah, we had a window open. We got the smoke sitting here still. I think it's going to create for a good visual on the YouTube episode. What do you think, Blas?
Yeah. Let's go. It goes perfect with Garrett's hat.
It does.
It really does. Hotboxing the bus, boys.
How do you feel about Atlanta now, though, with Coach Arthur Smith going? He was the OC, and I have to ask, as somebody who played for Coach Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Is that something to where players are like, hey, take me with you?
The first thing I think about is Dane Cook. All right.
Okay.
Dane Cook has a skit where he finds the shapely guy at an office and he goes and gives him a piece of candy because he knows one day that guy's going to come in there with a sawed-off shotgun and start peppering people. And he's going to lean over to Dane Cook's area and go, thanks for the candy, and keep going.
So what's that guy?
I'm the guy that got the candy. If I ever take down Atlanta, Arthur Smith lives. That's how much I love Arthur Smith.
So you wouldn't want to go to Atlanta?
I would go to Atlanta. I love playing here, though. Like, why can't I stay here?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to ask the question. Like,
let's say something happened. What if I got hurt again? Right? Like, what if? Like, if something happened and the Titans said, hey, listen, you've been hurt 2 years in a row. You got to get out of here.
You got to go.
All right. You used piece of garbage. You got to get the fuck out of here. If they said that, I think food disrupted them. It did. If they said that to me, I think Atlanta would definitely be a place I would think of only because of Arthur Smith.
Right. And just to put that in the context, I'm asking from a place like when one of your favorite coaches leaves, your first like instinct as a player, hey, take me with you.
Right.
Not that you hate where you're at. Just one of your favorite coaches is leaving.
Like, hey, don't leave.
And you're sad to see it happen.
Yeah, you're like a dog watching your owner walk away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a little bit of a deal.
Yeah, I tell you what, some stuff is shaking up because it seems like Dean Pease is coming out of retirement to go help out
in Atlanta.
Yeah,
I thought there was a chance that Dean Pease would come back to the Titans.
Dude, that'd have been sick.
This tread, the hardest tread I've seen you tread.
Yeah, huge fan of Coach Dean Pease, but I did think that was interesting because I saw that they were saying that he was going to fill some role of. Like helping out. They didn't really name what it was, but it seems like Dean Pease is going to go be in Atlanta with Art.
That's the thing about Arthur, dude. It's in. We briefly touched on the success his father's had. Arthur's not the only one in that family that has success. His sister is a big producer in LA as well.
Yeah, like Sicario.
The whole family, like, listen, like they always say, like, show me the son of a billionaire, you'll never see a self-made man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Arthur Smith is absolutely a self-made man. It's unbelievable.
how he has developed and he has gone. And you can see guys coming out of retirement just to go help out. Like, that dude builds bridges and keeps him strong. And that's really cool to see, because a lot of people think they don't need anybody.
Right.
A lot of guys just think, fuck it.
And a bridge he kept, just to show you how much for the boys he is. Diana Russini tweeted about Atlanta offered Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
And now we're just kind of waiting to see if he takes it. But it's official. Atlanta is now going after Arthur Smith, probably a few other teams as well. And I send Art that tweet in the morning. I text it to him and I say, hey, whenever this becomes official, can you let Bustin' with the Boys break it?
Yeah.
And then he's like, without hesitation, dude, I'm sure his phone's going off and everything like that. And he's like, I'll let you guys break it. And sure enough, dude, I forget what time rolled around, but he just texted me, Atlanta. Cause I was like, is it confirmed? Like, can we break this news if it gets confirmed? He's like, a lot's still going on right now. There's still talks happening with other teams, but he texted at like 3:21, I think it was, and just texted Atlanta. I was like, let's fucking go, Art.
How legendary of Art is that?
And he wants to come on the pod. He told all year.
He is for the boys and he had to do that. But where shine is given, shade has to be following, you know? And I hate to be the fucking guy to throw the shade at Arthur.
What are you about to do?
So you know what I'm about to do. So you break the news. We're stoked. I didn't even know. I found out via Bustin' with the Boys, right? Exactly. I was like, holy shit, we did it?
Taylor Schefter, dude.
Yeah, Taylor Schefter. Was it Will Rappaport?
Yeah.
So I'm like texting Art. He stokes me. You coming on the bus? He's like, I'm for sure coming on the bus. I'm like, when do you go to Atlanta? He's like, I don't know, but I'll come on the bus. So I said, perfect. Monday, you're coming on the bus. I'll get Will to give you the details.
Yeah.
Well, it's
no
Monday.
Questions asked.
Well, it's Monday.
I texted him last night.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I heard you're possibly coming on the bus tomorrow.
Yeah.
We go at 2.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to make it? I said, is it true? And he goes, I have to fly to Atlanta tomorrow.
Fuck around.
I know. He said, I have to fly to Atlanta tomorrow. And I said, bullshit on that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, when I get back, I'm traveling back and forth all month long. He's like, I'm coming on the bus
soon.
I'm
sure, dude. He'll come in certain places. He might not come on the bus, though.
I think he will.
I think he.
You think it'll
think
be on
he
Zoom?
Might.
You think there's a chance it'll be on Zoom? Is that what you're saying?
If he does, I won't do an Arthur Smith podcast.
I will not do it either.
I will. I draw a line in the sand,
because when he does come on, we're going to be wearing Atlanta tees.
Yeah.
And hyping the boys. Because
we support the boys. We're in a Tennessee Titans Atlanta Falcons podcast now. So if you live in Atlanta, if you're in Buckhead or whatever the nice little area
that's
is, there, not,
that's a good pool. Yeah, that's hey, right.
Well, you know your boy's done some dirty things in Atlanta a couple times. Dude. All right. Your boys got a little grimy in Atlanta, and they helped out. They had no issue getting grimy with the boy. Yeah, I like Atlanta, kind of. I like Nashville a little bit better, though, I'm not going
to
lie.
We're supposed to, I know we're trying to get Hayden Hurst on. He's a tight end for Atlanta.
Yeah,
done. I know he's talking about coming to Nashville and coming on the bus to tell his story. He's actually got an insane story with, like, mental health and stuff like that.
That's epic.
But we're trying to get the boys on. The boys are not for Atlanta
because we have a fellow Falcons podcast.
We have a fellow Bustin' with the Boys roster dude in Arthur Smith, and he is now the head coach of Atlanta. So now we've had two head coaches on the pod.
Yeah. The best thing that excited me about Arthur Smith is he said, when I come on the bus, no restrictions.
Yes.
He gets to say whatever he wants.
That. He did say that.
What
dude.
If he said something terrible and he got fired?
We'd edit it out.
Will we edit it?
Yeah, we'd have to, right?
I'd soil him. I would go 007 on him so bad. What's that?
What if it hurt us?
Why? How?
I don't know.
Just absolutely nuking the enemy?
He says whatever.
Like, be best friends with Arthur, but also, like, turn around on him.
Maybe he says whatever the restrictions he's talking about. Maybe he says it, and we're so caught off guard and shook by it, but we just do our little nervous laugh and kind of laugh it off and not think about it.
Okay.
And then it goes out there.
Yeah.
And then we get crucified for it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know what he could say, though.
I don't think he would say anything. Well-spoken man.
Yeah, very well-spoken
man. Needs a tan like no one's business, but that well-spoken, beautiful man. See, I don't know if you feel my energy right now. My energy's back. I love Art, but I'm also hating on Art a little bit. He left, and I'm happy for him because he deserves a head coaching job, but your boy misses him already. I'm sad about it. I'm bummed out about it. I mean, I'll be honest. I am a little worried about the offense. Well, how do you not be a little worried?
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime you lose a good OC like ours, it's probably the same. You know, anybody that loses a good OC, they're probably wondering what the next move is going to be. So, it's going to be interesting how it all shakes out.
We got no OC. We got no DC. Our pets' heads are falling off. We have nothing right now.
Do you feel like, I mean, this is probably...
Go ahead.
A tread question. No, it's not a tread question.
Well,
feel like that they would promote somebody in-house, or do you feel like they're going to want to get somebody outside?
It depends.
I do think there are good...
Yeah,
are good candidates.
I can literally think in my head two guys that I think would be really good. But here's the deal. I know how to play left tackle, and that's it. Your boy can only do one thing.
You know what I'm saying?
I love how you throw that out.
Right?
That's
treading.
Good. That's a good move.
But it's reality because I know I'm going to sit in OTAs and everybody will be like, oh, you think you could be the OC, Taylor? No, I absolutely cannot
be the
OC.
You're just going to sit there like this?
Because every play would be run left. And then eventually people would catch on. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not audibling shit. You know what I'm saying? But I know there's two guys in there, one being our offensive line coach. Keith has a very dialed in feel for the run game. I don't know how he is in the pass game, but he gets up in front of the boys and will say absolutely, like he does it. No ums, like he knows shit. Like no,
dude. Keith always seems locked in.
That man, I've never seen someone drink so much coffee in my life.
He's got that little chin, yeah. But a strong jaw, little chin, yeah. But just always seems
locked
in.
He's got a real punchable face.
Yeah, but he's always.
When I see Keith, my left hand starts twitching a little bit. Yeah. Like, this guy might deserve a hook later. You know what I'm saying?
But he, like, even walking in the halls or anything, he just seems like he's always thinking ball.
He is
like,
always.
He might
say,
what's
ball.
Up? About how's Taylor doing? But I know he's thinking ball. Like, yeah. He doesn't care what my response is going to be.
Right.
He's just doing it to kind of like.
He's thinking, how's Taylor? I hope he can run off the ball next year.
I hope
his hat placement's right. I hope his hands are good.
Yeah.
That's what he's thinking. Like he's a good dude. He's very philosophical. He has a philosophical conversation, I feel like, once a week. But he is all about ball. He was like Matt LaFleur.
I like some
He was
philosophy.
Like Hammercock LaFleur.
Yeah.
Big, big football guy, dude. I don't think he's got the piece like LaFleur's got, though.
Oh, that was going to be my next question.
I don't think he's got the piece.
You put him in the same sentence.
He's a thicker dude. Like, you look at me. And the untrained eye would say huge dick, right? Because I'm a big dude. I said the untrained eye.
Yeah, but O-linemen, they don't get the best rap.
That is an untrained eye.
Yeah.
Right? That's a trained eye.
My fault.
That's a trained eye.
Yeah.
You look at me and you're thinking, this dude's wheeling and dealing a fucking sword, right? Two hands. You can't have a shield with it because you got to hold that thing up, all right? That's made
the
of iron.
Untrained eye.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The untrained eye sees that. Right now you pull the pants off, looks like a little bit of a button, right? Yeah. Is that go to the suit? Does that go with the suit friend? And now I get the same feel from Keith. I've never seen his piece, haven't asked. But you look at him and you can just, you know, he and I are probably in the same level.
Because right?
we're in the same tier of
we
penis
have trained
sizes.
Eyes. We're savvy stepping into the shower.
I can go through here right now. Jack, huge. Garrett, okay. Boss, tiny. Josh, massive.
Hey,
Tanner, has the biggest balls I've ever seen in my entire life, by the way.
Bigger than Campanero?
Bigger than Campanero.
You're lying.
Dwarfs Campaneros.
That's dwarfs fucking false. I can't let you
his
say that.
His balls would go up to Campanero's balls and go, hey, how we doing, buddy? Can I get you a soda pop? You need anything? That's what he would say to his balls.
So Tanner's like South Park. Dude's wheeling. He's got the wheelbarrow nutsack.
Dude, the amount of times Tanner Tignini pulled out of his nutsack in high school was absolutely outrageous. And I'll just finish up. Garrett.
We do need to finish this. This
average
one
to below average size. Like, boom, 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 boom. I'm notched them all out. Done.
You might be a grower, not a shower.
Oh, for sure.
In the shower, though, we'd be like, you see Garrett?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey. And we go, okay. And we go, that's the shit would happen. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But I can... Will and I just know. You know what I'm saying? We know dicks.
We have a lot of experience.
No pause. No pause.
In the showers and locker room, not in
not
the
like
ways.
In mouths and stuff. Yeah. So let's jump on. What a good transition piece. What a good transition piece. To use your words right, Taylor. Someone's been on fire lately. All right. And I know there's smoke here literally, but there's also smoke here figuratively because Will Compton's been on an absolute roll on Twitter. And I wouldn't mind a round of applause for that. I would not mind a round of applause.
Boys.
Let's go back for a second, right? The boy goes absolutely viral against Detroit, right? Knocks out a fumble. Sorry, Daquan Jones. Fucking forces a fumble and picks it up himself. Does it all, right? Does it all on the goal line. It says the boy trending nationwide. You don't have to pull it up. The next thing that happens, Will gets half a haircut, all right? Goes nationwide. Every single thing possible. What happens next? The haters.
The haters
came out hot. The haters. And it's so funny how people shit on.
I went to my real estate agent. And I said, hey, I need to buy some property this weekend.
Yeah.
And he says, there is a lot going on in Baltimore that you can buy. I have a full portfolio. Yeah. You can go ahead.
Right. I think that's rent free for you. You don't got to pay for a thing.
Right. They were investment properties.
Yeah, absolutely.
Buy them. I got a lot of people moving in. They moved in over the weekend. They're paying a lot of rent.
Oh, my God.
Paying a lot of rent, dude.
People are exposed. They're hurt and they're doing their best to hurt you.
They're doing their damnedest to try to break me, dude.
Right.
They're trying to throw in. You see the practice squad chirps. You see the, what was the most recent one today? Somebody was like, one play away from the Canadian League.
I just sit here literally. Someone said that?
Yeah, somebody said that. Somebody tried talking about my tackles that I've gotten. Hey, people from all walks of life trying to come at the boy. And they don't get that this was premeditated murder.
Dude, we sat on this bus, and after we left the bus, it's not like Will and I didn't talk about it. Will and I didn't talk about it after. We literally walked away from the situation and go, oh, there's going to be an absolute fire burning as soon as
we're
the
taking
Ravens lose.
Titans Nation, Bussin Nation,
right.
Everybody, and all the tears, we're taking them to war this weekend. And I tell you what, they battled their ass off
they
when
did.
I let the thing drop.
The Ravens knew. I bet you in the last couple of seconds of the game, they thought, fucking Will Compton. You know, Lamar yeah. Jackson, Lamar Jackson hit his noggin and goes, he goes, Will? And that's all he thought to himself. Will Compton. That's what he fucking did, dude. That's a tough. I hope you're okay, Lamar. I know one wants to deal with concussions. Obviously, CTE is a big deal. Will Smith taught us that in concussion. But I got to say, dude, when the Ravens were losing and it got to it and I got to tweet, can't wait for Will's tweet. I took my phone and I just put it next to me and I just thought there's napalm going off. And
you
Twitter,
just
dude.
Dropped a bomb.
Dude, I just dropped a bomb with a smile on my face. I murdered a bunch of people.
You hyped it up even more.
Dude, and then when you tweeted... Out of respect, I'll let it go down to zeros. I was like, dude, this and people, it was like 50 replies in 10 minutes. They were so fucking mad, dude. They're so mad. And the only thing you guys got was a shitty check and didn't get as long of a break as you guys did.
Right. Well, it just blows my mind because we're obviously all sitting on the couch watching the game. Everybody's like, oh, you're tweeting this from the couch. Like, I know.
Yeah, obviously.
Around my boys, like
they're
enjoying the game,
like who's buying the flight to Cabo?
We're eating pizza.
Right.
We're having a few drinks.
No question.
Like we're having a great time
and just praying that the Ravens lose.
Yes. Yes, they're just laughing yeah. like are you going to do it? Guys are like, "Oh, should I post something?" Here's the thing too, because people are now grabbing it. I want to say I saw Ryan Clark tweet about it. Uncle, shout out Uncle RC by the way.
Who's
I
Ryan
love
Clark?
Ryan Clark. He played safety for like over a decade. Steelers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Super Bowl.
No disrespect.
Went to a Pro Bowl.
He's
a beast.
The guy that said Derrick Henry doesn't
yeah.
lower
right, right, right,
big
right.
boys.
Right, right.
Will can give you the compliment. That's half, though, Ryan. It's half, though. Because I was know, with, hold on, he played DB?
I was with Ryan in Washington. I call him Uncle RC.
He was a good dude?
He was pivotal for me in my growth as an adult.
I love that.
As a player, too.
But Derrick would run your ass over, bub. I love that. Like...
I
don't want this to get snipped and just have Taylor Lewan saying you get your ass run over by Derrick Henry. I want Will. He was pivotal and like emotional. Whatever the fuck Will just said. CT. I didn't really listen to the whole thing. And then it transitions to. But also, you would have been fucking head throttled by Derrick Henry.
I think he might have went low. He probably would have went.
He probably would have went low, and Derrick would have went. See ya.
Maybe
could have been like almost tripped. That's what he would have.
And I'm for Derek too. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. I just can't let he'd get ran over by Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? I just can't let that slander happen to my boy Ryan.
Was he a boomer?
What's up?
Was he like a boomy? Like what are you boom dudes? Was he like Cam Chancellor?
Oh yeah, he would throw it in there. He'd like knock himself out.
Who a boomy?
Yeah, he's a little boomy.
I just wanted you to say it.
Yeah,
I was trying to get you to say it.
Yeah, he's a boomy dude. But Ryan, I saw Ryan tweet it because I follow Ryan. I enjoy following Ryan too.
Yeah.
But I see him like, what's the trend with athletes when they lose the next week? They're posting about the team that beat them losing.
He said that?
He said that.
He subtweeted you.
Maybe. I don't know.
Did he tag you?
He didn't tag me. I don't know if I was on his mind.
So the guy
I know
who
he follows.
Was so epic in your growth was subtweeting you.
It doesn't. He's got a job to do too. Like I'll use his own stuff because he's somebody that claps back at people when they mouth him or talk about, hey, you're talking about players.
Yeah.
When you're making that transition from player to broadcaster and analyst, you take heat because now you're talking about the boys and you have to give your objective opinion on what you think based on your experience.
Do you think it's an objective opinion or do you think it's him saying things to get clicks?
I mean, it's part of the job. What do? We sell out.
Yeah, but I'm not selling out
from
anybody.
The great Peaky Blinders.
I don't need to hear it.
Everyone is a whore, Grace. We all just sell different parts of ourselves.
I kind
of
like that line.
That's a solid line, isn't it?
That's a solid line.
But to go off that, he said it. Immediately, I'm like, is he subtweeting me? Now, maybe that's my own self putting in my brain because I put that meme out there. But maybe he saw my tweet and wants to say it because Chase Claypool said something. All I can think about is like...
Chase Claypool said something to you?
He didn't say something to me, but he said like on something maybe on Instagram where he's
he said
Cleveland's
going
to lose or something. He's like, oh, they're going to get beat next week or whatever.
Yeah.
He said that. Like, I get the everyone reacting, oh, you lost, blah, blah, blah. But have you guys never played the board game Sorry and your friend next to you hits you with the Sorry and knocks you out?
Right.
And you're so bitter that now the game is to get them back.
Yeah.
Have you not played a video game where you've lost to your boy right next to you? And you know your other friend in the room is going to beat him next. And you just want that friend who beat you to lose so bad.
Last night, Will and I played a video game and he did better than me. And I want to push him down a flight of stairs right now. Like, dude, that's just how it works.
Hey, and as you're winning, like, you know that's going on because Taylor is a savage at Rocket League. And I'm like, hey, the old boy's getting a little long in the tooth. You're getting old. Yeah, it's a young man's
time. Was my thumbs couldn't keep up.
And I'm like trying to like get in his head. I'm like, it's a young man's game now. And he's like yipping out there and stuff. But my thought is like, have you guys never been in those backyard games where you lose and you want that team to lose the next round? Yeah. It's the same way in professional football, in any professional sport. Just because we're adults and we play a professional sport doesn't mean it doesn't happen with us. Fans from both sides, when their team wins or loses, they're chirping with the other fans. Garrett, when the Titans lost, I'm sure when he was probably getting into it with Ravens fans,
right,
saying, oh, you guys will lose next week. But it's okay
didn't,
for
didn't
fans.
Take one note. Didn't take one note from the Huckus.
Yeah, and exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Did you tweet anybody? Pass him a mic. Did you tweet anybody? Vigilante?
No, I did not.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, at every level, everyone lives for the pettiness, dude.
Yeah.
Everyone lives for a petty chirp. When you're on Twitter scrolling or on Instagram and you see a nice petty little chirp,
yeah,
you hit the like button or you favorite it or you laugh.
I live for petty.
Dude, like,
I fucking live for petty.
It's all about just having a little petty fun.
That's the thing too, is we gotta stop taking, we've already talked about it, we gotta stop taking ourselves too seriously.
Right? Yes.
Because there's gonna be a time next year when one of us gets clapped.
Yes, dude.
I'm gonna it get happens run every over. Year. You're going to have another highlight film come out.
Last year.
Shit is going to happen. And people are going to be like, listen, you fucking loser. They're going to go off on us.
Yeah.
And it's going to be kind of strong, right? There's going to be a lot of effort.
At first, you're emotional about it.
Right.
Because it's
why
you.
Why would they say that about me? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Why would, they don't know me as a person.
Yes.
You know?
Dude, I got damn near thrown in the stands by Roger Saffold last year against the Titans. I got mossed on by KB. Our fullback.
Kari Blasingame.
Yeah, Kari Blasingame. I almost said Kyrie. That's why I said KB.
It was his second reception ever in the NFL.
Yeah, and it was on me. And me and KB, we have a history of him being at Vandy. And, like, I was getting shit on for that by my own kind, by the Titans. But they were having fun and chirping the boy. It's a good pettiness.
We FaceTimed Will, and the whole defense was watching as I played Roger tossing Will into the bleachers.
Yes, Taylor.
And they all went hype.
Taylor.
And Will was just like, on the film, like, okay, yeah, it's super funny. And then we lost connection. You know what I'm saying?
Lost connection. I wanted to kill myself afterwards, but
it's all right.
Taylor FaceTimes me on the plane after our game with the Raiders, and what he just said shows the play in front of everybody. Everyone's laughing. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
But hey.
So it's so nice. We said it twice on the podcast.
We're petty on every level. Like, let's not act like there is a way to lose with class. There is a way to be classy. Yeah. I do understand that. The Ravens, they are a very good football team. They stopped us in the run. They beat us. They were the better team that day.
Right.
I know people are like, oh, you know, that they are a good football team, and they beat us that day.
They're a good football team.
But as far as pettiness.
They're better than Titans.
Yeah.
Right? You just say they were better than the Titans this year.
Yeah.
Right?
As far as being petty, though, like, there's no rules and limitations, and we can have as much fun as we want.
Right.
And that day, that night, when Tucker doinked it a couple times.
Oh, that was tough to watch, too, because he's like the best kicker in the league.
He's a machine. Arguably of all time, one of the best kickers of all time.
Vinatieri? No, he's not better than Vinatieri.
He is. That's why I said arguably one of the best. I tried correcting myself.
Good.
But all I'm saying is, like, that night, when that clock hit 00,
right,
and I had said on the podcast, Monday when we cleaned out our lockers, and there was a little salt in the womb.
Right.
In the wound. I almost said womb. I did say womb.
You did say womb.
And there's a little salt in the wound. And we came over and we talked about locker cleanout day. And there's a little emotion in the boy. And I said what I said. And I doubled down on it. And we had a meme created. And we went to war on Saturday night. And it was amazing.
We didn't go to war. Like, we bombed Pearl Harbor. And then shit went down. You know what I'm saying? We were in one of the planes that bombed Pearl Harbor. And then we landed and kind of walked away after
We threw a bomb and we left.
We left. Yeah. It's like with the Boston Tea Party. Yeah, we tipped over some tea, but, like, then we left.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
And everyone else fought our battles.
And everyone else fought our battles for us.
And you love to see it.
You do. Because the faithful, the tier ones, twos, and threes really, I think even some threes leveled, like, got their game up a little
bit. People came to just join the army. They didn't even know what it was for. They're like, I'm about this pettiness.
Like, oh, chaos? Let's fucking do this.
They're like, I'm about this
pettiness.
Everyone's
so, like, calloused from 2020. They're like, fuck, you guys want a little chaos? Let's do this thing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful little deal.
Barstool Carl, shout out Barstool Carl. He texted me. He's like, dude, I love the petty meme you just posted.
Yeah.
Like, it was, dude, that shit's so fun, dude.
Yeah.
And everyone just all up in arms about it. Like, hey, relax.
Hey, just calm down. What if we posted that What if we posted
that? Hey, it's not lit.
We're okay.
Hang on.
I'll just, we're fine.
It's just a little adversity.
We'll just keep talking, and then hopefully we'll jump in eventually. So imagine this would have been the best way Ravens fans could have handled this. Will tweets. He posts Jordan crying faces on you guys. And I say you guys because for whatever reason, fans think they play the game. Then you guys, one fan tweets back. No more fans tweet. One fan just says, okay, you guys would have won. You guys would have fucking won the war that we were hoping to start. But you didn't, dude. You bit on the cheese, didn't you? And you guys can hate us. But guess what? We're going to get got again. Like something will happen to us, you know, eventually. And they'll be like, remember the Ravens thing? Well, fuck you. And then we'll be back. And we'll be back. It's a back and forth thing. That's the fun thing about being petty. Another thing. Speaking of being too petty. It's about being a little too petty. What is that? What's up?
Fuck you.
If we're being a little too petty, like, God, I've been called the N-word on a podcast.
Hey, Ravens fans. Relax.
Oh. But the thing, too, is Raven players, just shake hands at the end of the game. We can be as petty as we want, dude. I've told a grown man I'd suck him off during a game. I've had another grown man tell me he was going to shoot me after the game. And I've been called the N-word countless times. You still dap at the end.
You still dap at the end. I will say, to play on the other side of that fence,
but I understand why they were mad.
I don't mind it. I thought that was a nice little get back.
You like that?
Yeah, it's just petty.
I'll easily waver. I will jump ship.
I know you would.
I'll get the fuck out of here.
We're trying to play
now.
Both, though.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Out. I'm with you now. Fuck it, dude.
Like, the way I saw Levine come up, 41, come up, hey, no, fuck that. Come on, we're out of here. I was like,
who's Levine? Who is that?
Levine, 41, baller, special teams player. Baller, special teams player. He's a good special teams player.
Never heard
let's
of him.
Let's not hate
him. No, I wasn't. Actually, I can't.
I know. You're kind of going around. I just like, let's not slander the special teams boys
right,
out there.
You're right.
Because we just put together a nice little highlight video.
We did put a nice little highlight.
We'll get to that in a second. When I saw that, I was like, that's a nice chirp back. That's a nice pettiness back, dude. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm about it. I live for the pettiness. As long as we're not taking it too serious. Like, people, like, let's have, you know, people trying to really make it a thing and about, like, oh, you know, why would you wish your team to lose and this and that? Like, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
Like, it's a game.
Right.
And it's an important game, a game we all love. But I'm just saying, like, I live for it.
A very smart man told me one time, never love something that can't love you back.
There it fucking is,
dude.
That
was fucking you.
There it fucking is,
bro. All the time.
Gotta have fun.
Right.
You gotta have fun with this stuff, dude. And
if you don't, you're gonna die old, young. You're gonna die. You're gonna have a wonderful life and die old. No. You're gonna die from stress because you're gonna be like so worried about what other people think. Just go ahead and live it. That's why I loved your tweet when that guy said, imagine whatever. Imagine being this isn't this, and then,
oh yeah, yeah. Bring
said,
up the toot, dude.
Said,
bring
imagine,
up the toot.
Imagine this, and then I hear you put. I see you put the phone down by your ass and go. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Bring it back up to my.
Yeah. Hang on. Hold on. And then dude, you couldn't have scripted a fart better. You couldn't have gone on a soundboard to put a better fart up there. And you go, yeah, man. eyes snap shut, dude. You were asleep when you did that.
It's just like, what do people think they're doing to? To guys when they're trying to tweet at him and trying to bring him down.
Right.
Especially like they'll say all the chirps I got this year.
Yeah.
Right. Or all the chirps that we've read and seen. If you go to my Instagram page, all those comments, that's a great read in itself, dude. But it's just like, what do you think that person is doing? You know what I mean?
Exactly, like, what they're doing.
We just, I brought the phone and I farted in it and then I put my phone down.
Right.
And like, you go back to watching Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And then you go back and see that, oh, they're still mad.
Yeah.
Like, still big mad.
Just a small little napalm.
Yeah, like a small little toot. A small little hake toot.
One toot heard around the world.
Yeah. A little
50,000 plus people heard a toot.
And then
you farted and everyone smelt it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God, isn't that unbelievable?
It is, dude.
Isn't that wonderful?
I don't know. Like, I'm biting my tongue because I don't want to go too hard in on people.
Yeah, by the way, Levine, is that his name?
Yeah, Levine.
I didn't mean it. Oh, that was too much, right? Like, it's over. You're awesome. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know his stats, but I know he's awesome. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Any of the Ravens, too, like even Mark Ingram, he's got trust levels, but any of the Ravens, like, we want them on the podcast. Like, we're for the boys.
We're for the boys.
Like, don't get it twisted.
Yes, we're a Titans and Falcons podcast, but we're also for the boys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We're for all the boys
we're
out there.
We're for all
dude.
Of them.
I'm
we're for every single one of you. If Levine wanted to come on here, we would have him.
Yeah.
We would absolutely have him.
It's like,
if Calais Campbell, if we could understand Calais Campbell because his voice is so deep, we'd have him on.
Yeah.
But I don't think the listeners would hear what he's saying.
It's like, you don't have a duo that's more for each other than the boys right here. Right. Taylor and Will, we are for each other. Right. We want each other to have success. But when we're playing beer pong on somebody's birthday and we get death cupped and it's from Taylor's team, there's no doubt in my mind.
Shout out Quentin Nelson.
There's no, yeah, Quentin Nelson hit a death cup on us and Taylor's team won. But there is no doubt in my mind when that bracket goes up and I see Taylor on a different slot than me, I want to defeat Taylor and I want him to lose. Right. And when he beat us with a death cup, I hope he has a terrible night the rest of the night.
It's
the same pettiness, dude. Just on a level to where now we have cameras and
you do anything for
lots
me?
Of money.
What's up? You do anything for me?
What do you mean?
You just said you would do anything for Taylor. You do anything for me?
I mean,
if somebody kicked in the door to this bus right now, put a gun to my head and said that you guy in the, with the black hat and the black shirt on, you got to suck this dude off. You got to suck Bloss off
to save your
otherwise
life.
Otherwise, I'm going to kill this guy. He doesn't even know who I am. He doesn't know my name.
To save your life, I got to suck Bloss off.
Yeah.
Does he have to finish?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think? You just put your mouth on it. And he's not going to get a little aggressive after the testosterone's not going to kick up and they'll, well, now since you're there, Bloss will go, well, since you're there, he said, it's not that big, Will. Would you do that for me? Oh, you just made a weird like swallow noise.
It's just because I've been smoking the cigar.
Okay. I heard that. I thought that was like you were salivating. What would you do?
I probably would.
Would you?
Listen, man.
Go ahead.
Listen.
Hey, Alex.
You put me in a weird spot.
Yeah.
But I know how I've spoken in the locker room to the fellas.
Right.
I would save your fucking life, dude.
You really would?
Yes.
Would it be the same for Garrett?
No.
Yeah, he'd have to die.
Yeah, he'd have to die.
That's crazy. But I agree. I would actually, the same thing for me.
You would?
Oh, I'd blow a dude for you.
I'm not going to lie. I'm frazzled.
To live.
Right, hey, I'm frazzled right now.
Are you? Why?
Yeah, I just said I would. I don't even want to repeat it. I said what I said on our podcast, and now billions of people are going to listen.
Hey, listen, here's the good news. You don't have to, right? No one's walking in here. Bloss is here. I'm sure he's got his gun on him. Bloss, are we safe? Okay, good. Thank God.
If I'm going to be for the boys, I got to be for the boys in times when it matters the most.
Yeah.
And that's you, your life.
But now you're implying that Garrett's not one of the boys.
Small circles.
Garrett. Only the whole Titans franchise and Atlanta Falcons franchise.
Garrett, I'm sorry. Like, I just, you know. I'm frazzled.
We'll just move on then, huh?
Yeah, let's
hey, let's take a moment and read an ad read so Will can collect his thoughts. You okay there? Huh? You all right? Our special guy. Hey, Will. Let's play a word association. If I use the word strong, dependable, four wheels, a great motor, and hardworking, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
Chevy Silverado.
No question. If you own a truck, specifically a Chevy Silverado, one word I like to think of also is giving. Willing to give that friend a helping hand, moving that couch maybe to the new apartment he just got after he got that raise.
Mm.
You know, going over, hey, we got all these coolers for the big tailgate for the Tennessee Titans game.
What if I need to tow my boat?
I got a Chevy Silverado for that. You know what? And you can be giving too. Loving, dependable. You can be all of those things. Just cruise on to your nearest Chevy dealer, look the guy in the eyes with the shirt that doesn't fit, and tell him, Chevy Silverado. And the boy sent you.
Mm.
Then wink at him. What happens from there is up to you two. What else we got in the thing here?
I can see it now.
That was a good second.
Will said he'd suck off somebody to save Taylor's life.
I hope Buck Rising is the guy. Buck is definitely the dude that'll break that news. Will Compton sucks off another man to save Taylor Lewan's life. That's the title. Now we gotta go read another ad read for Will because we can't just go back into it. Let's read another ad.
Shout out Trifecta Nutrition. No free shout outs. Trifecta is the best meal prep on earth. Did you know that, Taylor?
I did know that.
You did. Great answer. All of their meals are created by chefs and nutritionists to help people get into the best shape of their lives. Trifecta makes meal prep not suck. All of their meals are backed by nutrition science and taste great, making it simple to get into the best shape of your life. You got that? You got it, guys. It's winter time. Spring is coming. People are trying to go to Miami every now and then. Summer's coming up. You got to get in that summer beach spot, dude. Trifecta makes eating healthy not suck. You don't have to suffer to eat healthy. Trifecta is convenient. You save time rather than spending hours on meal prep every week.
Again, it is science-backed nutrition. All of Trifecta's meals follow scientific nutritional principles. The food quality is their priority. Fresh food, farm-to-fork supply chain. It is never frozen, organic produced, gluten-free, meat that animal welfare level 5. That is the highest animal welfare level possible. Fully cooked food. It is no waste of time cooking or cleaning. Just heat and get healthy. Meal prep elite athletes like the boys use. Meal plans that fit people's lifestyle, whether you're vegan, paleo, keto, any of it, dude. Trifecta's got a plan for you. It's more than just food. It's a nutrition program. Use our code. The boys have your back. 40% off. Use code BUSSIN.
That's Wait, did you say 40%?
40% off. All you have to do is go to trifectanutrition.com/BUSSIN for this exclusive offer. Again, the boys have your back. Eat like the boys. Use code BUSSIN at trifectanutrition.com and start looking fit today.
Today.
All right, so I would say that our crowd, our fans have learned something today. You know what I mean?
I think they've learned more than they wanted to.
Yeah, I think so too. What do we have next on the docket, dude?
Oh, that was your yeah. that was your going back and everything? We got current events, boys.
Dude, did you see this?
I did. I did because I tweeted about it also. Bert Kreischer on his podcast, was it Two Men, One, Two Bears, One Cave? Yep. Phenomenal podcast. Love them. Love Bert Kreischer's special on Netflix. He goes into the wilderness and... just does a bunch of crazy shit. Does a coffee enema, which I still am going to try.
Is that where you got that from?
No, Talon actually brought it up to me.
Okay.
Good for antioxidants.
You should have said, yeah, then but I'm sure I also, he's more hyped to come on.
Yeah, no, Bert is always welcome on this podcast. But I love their comedy. I love what they do. And then when you see it's kind of crazy when you start a podcast and you start to get like, these dudes are in LA talking about us. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of cool. I'm just appreciative of that. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice little deal. I like those guys. I don't know them personally, but I like what they do. I always have a soft spot for stand-up comedians because I feel like that's a super hard gig to get on stage.
Coming up with stuff, putting your jokes out there to get laughed at or nothing at all, and then you got to
imagine
pivot.
Getting nothing at all.
Imagine the internal battle that would probably be going on. Like, all right, I got to pivot. I got to reach for that. I got to go with this joke.
What's the next one? Like the movie The Joker when he tells those, like, imagine being in that situation.
Yeah.
Imagine being someone in the stands and just watching somebody bomb on stage.
And then they go to like an old joke that used to hit and they're like, oh, now they're doing their old material.
Yeah. I heard this one before.
Yeah.
And then some guy yells, heard it. And you're like, fuck,
oh,
dude.
My God.
And now you're sitting here in just hell. That'd be hell for me.
Yeah.
God, that'd be tough.
That would be tough. Hey, shout out, what is it? Two Bears, One Cave. We're not going to butcher the name. He called us Bus Boys. It's
I kind of like that he called the Bus Boys.
He's like,
go to Barstool and look up the Bus Boys.
It is dope that it, like, what they're talking
about. What does he like about us? I want to know what he likes.
Yeah, Alex, well, what were they talking about in that conversation? Because it was something about Pat McAfee, right?
Yeah, they were talking about how awesome it is to see dudes doing stuff independently and everything like that. And then they asked, you know, how much would you sell your podcast for if a network approached you and said, hey, we want to buy everything. We want to take over some control. And Tom said $35 million a year.
$35 million a year? Yes. To be like controlled by like a
big network, like a CBS,
like an HBO or a Netflix Central. Or something.
Yeah. And he was asking, what would you guys do? What would McAfee do? He was kind of putting the question out there.
I think it would just be ridiculous for us to say $35 million a year. Cause we're not
$200,000 a year.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
You just start saying, I think it's ridiculous. $200,000 a year.
That'd be definitely it. I think it's hard for us to say we're at a totally different level than those guys are that Pat McAfee is right now. Yeah. So it's like hard for us to even say, like, you like to think, I don't like having other people have creative control of what we're doing at all, because that's what makes us unique. That's what makes us be able to say the ridiculous things we get to say.
Yeah, like, you know, well, what the fuck we just talked about.
Yeah, we're not going to bring it back up. So I'm not sure how many we have today. Yeah. I'm not sure. But I'm saying, like, you know, if we were Showtime, and we're talking about, you know, the stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, rewind it if you want to hear it. Like, they would make us take that out.
And they'd probably make us button up. Hey, let's not do this. Or, hey, we should probably go this direction.
I don't know what our number wouldn't be high enough right now because no one would pay us that money. You know what
they would.
$35 million a year if the people pay us $35 million
probably.
A year?
Probably. There's probably people out there lurking.
You think there's a person out there.
We have billions of people that tune in.
I think it was like 50 billion last time. Yeah. We have so many people that tune into this podcast.
No, that is a good question. I think Taylor fucking killed it. Cause that is what makes us like unique. That's like what the beautiful thing about this pod is. Like,
But
the boys, this whole thing is just came from our brains. Yeah. All of our brains collectively, everybody's brain.
But mostly me and Will's brain. And we need you guys to really know that. We'll give you guys like 3%.
Bloss said something earlier too. Homegrown and home owned, dude. That's what we are, bro.
Yeah. Sounds like a marijuana company.
Homegrown and home owned. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
kind of tight. Yeah. We should start doing weed now. Should we start selling
weed? See, we get to say, you get to kind of say whatever you want to do.
You know, and Bloss ain't going to arrest us.
We get to have players on. We get to have locker room talk.
Just coming at you too hard, this pod, dude.
We get to have conversations that don't necessarily get to happen on commercialized or network owned shows. But I think that's also why we partnered too with Barstool, because we're able to continue to do whatever we want to do, and they just want to pour gasoline on whatever we do.
One thing, just a quick pivot on that though, is if somebody offered us $35 million a year, we'd probably censor ourselves.
Yeah, bro.
Hey. Like, the number's not there for us now because no one would pay us that, but if somebody would pay us $35 million a year, yeah.
Hey, look, just throw everything we just said for $35 million a year.
Yeah. Everything we said would cancel out immediately.
But I want to say
$35 million a year.
Tom said he wouldn't do it, right? No,
Tom said 35.
Bert said he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Bert said he wouldn't want to sell it. Because everybody's like, oh, how's it going? It's like, oh, it's going good. Like, what if somebody wanted to offer this? It's like, I mean, what we have going on right now is good. So
yeah, and Tom said 35 mil because he was like, you're going to take away my happiness. Like, this makes me happy doing this thing in the first place.
Ah, yeah.
So it's got to be 35 mil because now I don't even like to do this anymore.
Happiness can always be bought, though.
Yeah.
35 million is probably my number.
I don't That's a good happy. Number.
Like,
I would probably settle for 20.
No question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're just hearing 35.
10?
Yeah.
Well, I guess 9 with the overhead. These guys are probably start money grabbing.
You know Alex would.
Yeah, you know when the check comes, alligator arms, but as soon as fucking... Yeah, yeah. Well, Alex for sure. No I think question. Alex runs like 17 podcasts now. You know what I'm saying?
He's building it, dude.
He is building it.
Hey, I'm stoked for you, bro.
Happy for you.
You've got the catapult. I'm not going to say us, but you have the resume builder to be like, yo, here's what we fucking do.
We're not going
to
say exactly what we did. We'll just say you're welcome and we're happy what you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Also, thank you too, Alex.
But you're welcome.
For sure.
We're sitting up here in our shades, just looking ridiculous. Like, we're appreciative.
My head's a little buzzy right now because Will won't catch a hint after we go on a break and tell him it's what the
we're clearly
out.
Feeling ourselves for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like, it's week two of the off-season.
You didn't even comment on how I dressed today. You didn't say anything about how I dressed.
I did before the pod.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I wanted you to say it on the pod.
You look good.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of the Lululemon button.
It's not
the button down, button up.
Still not.
That's Lululemon.
You literally asked
me. I have that shirt. Tags removed.
Yeah.
Lulu has those hey.
And now you'll never know.
Hey, Lulu has those long tags too, to where you know it's Lulu.
Okay, so it's not Lulu.
This
is not Lululemon. Here's what I wanted to do. See, I haven't seen Will in a while. And I want to look cute for him today. That's what I thought.
You look good. I'm always a fan of what color glasses are those?
These aren't blue blockers. These aren't blue blockers.
No, I know, but what's the shade?
I don't know. These are my cocaine dealer glasses.
Yeah, cocaine dealer. I was gonna say cocaine shade, but I don't know if that's really
I think that's the color.
I love the hat. I always love the retro.
You don't have to go through everything, but thank you. Well,
If you put time in, I want to be detailed about
you.
Okay, I don't want to just say you look good. I like the tight jeans. I like the little slit in it. I like the little, you got the little rebellious
slit. I like
going
your little
on.
Slit. Thank you.
You got the watch to go with it, the dark little watch. What kind of shoes you got going?
Vans.
Just some Vans. I love that. And they match the shirt.
Thank you.
So that shows that you put some time into it. Wow. And then what do you got under? What do you got under the button? Oh.
I was feeling pretty folly.
So Spooktober with the boys. That's the OG
that's
shirt,
OG
too.
Shirt. Yes, it is an OG shirt.
And you
I
see,
love
I
it.
Got, oh my fucking God. Do you see my shirt?
Yeah, that was when I said, fuck you, Alex.
This Lightning crew neck is also fire. You can go buy both of these products.
You can buy this
store.
One still?
I don't know.
Man, this one's kind of killer, though. It's got the boys in the bus
in
the back.
Hey, my ashtray shirt. Look at this.
No, I've seen it the whole time. I've been watching it. I've been actually looking at you this entire podcast. Usually I look this way, but
I thought I was looking this entire pod.
No.
I see that I'm now going to be the butt of the joke.
Yeah, except for the Ravens fans who are still hating.
Yeah.
Who are just sick right now.
Yeah.
They're so upset about what happened, dude.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. They're going to get... time heals all wounds.
It really does.
The Titans were going through it. We needed somebody to take down with us to make us feel better.
Right.
So when the Ravens lost, we got to feel a little bit better about ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, if the Ravens If the Ravens fans want to root against, who beat them?
Bills.
The Bills, CTE. If they want to root against the Bills, you know, then they'll feel better.
I kind of hope the Bills go all the way.
Dude, I'm rooting for the Bills,
too.
Because
we donkeyed the Bills. Now, hold on, Bills Mafia, because I've tangled with you guys once or twice.
Hey, yeah, you better tread. They are fucking crazy.
The Bills Mafia is the most, like, legit, over-the-top fan base of all time.
I almost signed with them my free agency year. That's when I found out I had the old tumor that got downgraded to a cyst in my brain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went on the visit. Bills Mafia was welcoming me with open arms. They're like, this is going to be a great this is going to be a great match.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. I couldn't wait. And I go, I get my C-spine MRI from stingers I've had in the past. And the doc pulls me in and says, hey, do you see this right here? And it was like this little white mass down in my brain.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I see it. What's that? He's like, you know, we're not talking about, he's like, listen, I'm just going to tell you what we think we see. We think this could be a tumor. And we're not talking about football right now. We could have our doctors look at it for you and you can stay in the hotel a couple nights. We think that, you know, it'd probably be better if you go home, you know, around people you want to be around. And I'm thinking in my head, it's not really hitting me.
Right.
But go home. You probably want to do it there. If we can get something set up with the Redskins to take a better look from a neurologist to look at your brain, because this could be a tumor. You might have to look at getting it removed and getting it sent to a lab to see, like, you know, what it is. This is all hitting me while I'm on the visit with the Bills.
It's not registering with you?
When he's telling me, it wasn't registering at the time, because I'm on a free agent visit.
Yeah.
Preston Brown, he signed with the Bengals for like $5 million, and the Bills called right away, and I was fired up. Had a great meeting with Frazier, their DC, and I was watching film with the linebacker coach, and we were going over a bunch of stuff, and they're like, hey, your MRI and your medical stuffs came in. Can you come see us for a minute? And I was like, yeah, no doubt. And the linebacker coach was like, come back right after that, blah, blah, blah. I go and have this whole conversation. It's like, you know, it's starting to register, like, yo, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like, how are they seeing this? And the Redskins didn't see this.
Yeah.
So I go back.
Isn't that what Trent Williams?
Trent went through some similar stuff with that. Like all the operating that they had to do on his head because he had to sit out a year. And I would love, I talked to Trent about it, of him coming on the pod and talking about it one day. But
I would absolutely love.
You're kind of thinking about stuff like that, and you go back to the linebacker room, and it's like, hey, you know, listen, we probably shouldn't. Your headspace probably in the right spot to watch film. And I'm like, yeah, if you don't mind, I'd just like to start figuring out flying back to DC to get this thing figured out. Fly back to DC. Charo is on visiting her family down the Philippines. So I don't tell Charo because I'm like, I don't want to tell nobody. I don't want to tell my mom. I don't want to tell anybody until we know if it's actually dangerous or not. Redskins send me up. I fly back to DC that night. Go get a brain MRI right away. I'm walking up the stairs and the, what do they call it? The neuroradiologist is looking at my MRI. He's on the phone with our Redskins doctor. He's like, yeah, I mean, this could be, you know, we might have to look at getting this thing removed. This is just what I'm seeing. We'll send it to our neuro. And I'm listening to the conversation. I come outside and then the person who walked me up knocks on the door. Is like, hey, Will's out here. He's like, all right, hey, I'll call you back. Hangs up the phone. He says, Will, what's going on, man? How you doing? Come on in, blah, blah, blah. And hey, I overheard what you're saying. Like, just let me know what you see right here.
So you were like, hey, spare me the.
Yeah, spare me any conversation that you're about to have with me.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on right here? And he's like, you know, we don't fully know what we have. But you see this outline, he's saying, you see all this stuff around this white mass that's in my cerebellum. And he's like, this could be, you know, you might be done playing football. Like, we might have to get this cut out. You know, you get a titanium plate put in, you might be able to still play. I'm like, look, I'm not some person who's just going to put a helmet back on and run my head. And if I have some tumor that I got get removed, I'll be done playing football. Like, just tell me what you think it is.
Right.
And he's like, this could be a cancerous tumor, blah, blah, blah. We'll know more tomorrow when we talk to the neurologist or the neuroscientist, whatever they're called. And I'm like, all right, I appreciate it. I call Dr. West when I leave. I'm talking to her and she's like, you know, you could still play. I want you to know you'll still be able to play. It would probably take a year. And I'm like, doc, you know, if I got to get this thing removed and there's a metal titanium plate that's covering a part of my brain and I have to sit out a year of football, like, my career is probably going to be done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What year is this for you? This time, 4 or 5?
This is my year I came to the Titans.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, this is the year. This is free agency for me when I came to the Titans. It's kind of
weird that I'm hearing about. I've heard about this roughly, but never in this detail.
Right. And so I call my dad because I want my dad to know. I'm like, hey, don't tell mom. And he's like, he's getting a little choked up. It's starting to bring back a little memories for the boy.
Yeah.
And so I go home and I'm like, yo, how am I going to, how am I going to break this news? If this is what it is, if this is what they are thinking it is, how am I going to tell, you know, Charo and everybody else? And so I sleep that night, obviously don't sleep a lot, wake up the next day. I tell my boy Trent Murphy, cause he had just signed with the Bills at that point, and he was fired up. He's texting his coaches cause we were on Washington together. And I tell him, and he starts messaging all of our doctors that we've known, hey, how, you know, trying to do some stuff for the boy. And I'm like, let's just wait to hear from the neurologist. The neurologist calls the next day. He's like over in Europe doing something. Some, you know how everybody has all these connections. Right. He calls me. He's like, Will, I know you've probably been sweating it up all night, but I promise you, this is not a tumor. This is not cancerous. You just have a cyst. I believe that you've had this cyst in your brain the entire time since birth, because it's in your cerebellum, which shows us that, you know, you see that a lot in toddlers when they get something, but it's something that I went back in all your old MRIs with the Redskins. You can see it there, and it is hard to identify. So, you know, try not to be upset with them or blah, blah, blah. This is a hard thing to find unless you go through all the frames.
Bit outrageous that the Washington football team.
Outrageous. I was, Washington did take care of me. They were doing everything they can. They were like, you know, who knows if they
take care of you year one.
Right. Who knows if they were backpedaling or not, but they were taking care of me at that time. Like, you know, they hated it for the boy. Like, I'm close with all those guys, so I'm not going to sit there and throw a lot of shade at them. But there was animosity towards, like, how has this been in old MRIs and we don't know about this till now? Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen this in all of your old MRIs dating back to 2014 from all your Singer stuff and concussion stuff. He's like, I believe that this has been here and it's barely grown. He's like, you're just going to have to get this checked out semi-annually, like once every 6 months or once a year. But you're going to be fine. I just want you to know that. So thank God. Huge dramatic story for an ending like that. I was fired up. 2 days later, agent calls, hey, Titans want to bring you in on a visit. That's when I came to the Titans. Todd, I come in. Todd's like, hey, what happened with Buffalo? I kind of tell him. He's like, we'll get this checked out, blah, blah, blah.
Todd's a beauty.
Got cleared with the Titans. I wasn't cleared necessarily with Buffalo. Buffalo wanted to kind of wait it out and see what went on in free agency with me. But the Titans were like, we'll get this checked out for you. We think you're good to go. And then that's when I signed with the Titans. And I actually just got my brain MRI last week. And there's been barely any growth, but he's like, it's still a cyst. Like, you're fine. We'll go. And Todd says, for peace of mind, I'll set you up with another meeting with a neurologist just to kind of look over it again.
That's killer.
So that's some stuff that goes on with the boy.
Do you ever worry? Like, do you worry about it ever? Do you think about it ever? Or is it kind of like, hey, when it comes up, they did get the scan.
Yeah. Every year when I got to go get the scan and I go under to get the brain MRI, I'm always curious if it's grown or if there's actually something that we're just not, that somebody might be overlooking. There's always that kind of fear, you know what I mean? To where it gets bad enough and you're just like, you know, hey, this is something that we didn't see in the past. But I mean, I feel good that it hasn't been anything. I mean, the boy's been playing.
Yeah. Playing well too, based on the highlight tape we released.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's a story with the old cyst.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. How'd they come about? Oh, Bill's Mafia.
Yeah. They're crazy motherfuckers. Yeah. I mean, we've hit it. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we've nailed it on the head. Our guest is Devin White, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Devin White.
What time do we have? What time is it?
All right, perfect. So our guest today is going to be Devin White. A guy played at LSU, had a lot of success there, obviously, had a beautiful horse that unfortunately passed away in 2019, was a top 10 pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and is going to play in the NFC Championship. Obviously his first, but he's playing with one person that's played in about 8 of them things, and that's Tom Brady. Well, this is Tom Brady's first NFC Championship too, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm stuck on you knowing about his horse.
Tanner looked that up for me.
Oh, Tanner did. At the end of the day, Bustin' with the Boys did the research, and I'm thrilled.
Well, I knew he had a horse, and I knew he loved the horse. So me and Kay Adams, shout out Kay Adams. She's an absolute beautician. We did some things. Oh, okay, Bloss, you like yourself some Kay? Is that you? Was that you? Oh, going, yeah. All right. I love it, dude. Kay, if you're looking for anybody, Bloss is about you. You know what I'm saying?
Who are we talking about?
Who's Kay Adams from Good Morning Football.
Oh, yeah, she's a stud.
Yeah, she is.
She hypes the boys. She did bet against us again on the Ravens game.
That's okay. Well, she was right.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right. So she made some money. You're right.
You know?
You're right.
She was probably doing FanDuel or whatever the McAfee show does. Shout out Pat McAfee show. You guys are welcome for that free shout out. But, yeah, we did a thing for the draft where guys would come in and her and I would interview the guys getting drafted. It was very cool. That was the year that Devin White was drafted.
Guy came in, he had an epic suit, but he was ranting and raving about his horse. And I didn't know that the horse passed away. And Tanner looked it up and he goes, you probably shouldn't bring up the horse. And I go, why? And he showed me that the horse passed away from, it was a heat exhaustion, Tanner? That's what it said he thinks. So well, that's, a man of few words.
That sucks. That sucks because I sent him a photo of the horse.
God damn.
Saying like, you know, I didn't know that had happened.
Well, finish what you said.
It was more of like putting it out there like we're doing our studies, like can't wait to have you on type of thing. Because him and Levante are close, obviously. I know, that's not good. I feel bad about that. I do feel bad about that.
I would have made a similar mistake if Tanner didn't pick it up. But the last thing we're going to do before we have Dev on is we got Super Bowl predictions. We got things going down. The Bills, the first time since 1993, are in the AFC Championship. The Chiefs are in the AFC Championship since the first time since last year. All right? Both have a little bit of a different deal going on. The Buccaneers are playing the Packers. Aaron Rodgers has had arguably the best season of anybody besides Derrick Henry.
Dude.
And Tom Brady is the greatest football player to ever live. So it's an action-packed weekend coming up for all of you. We got to hit some predictions, though. And I like Will to go first.
So first game, what game are we going with first?
Go with the AFC Championship, Chiefs and Bills.
Chiefs and Bills. You know, it's going to be interesting because you got to see the concussion protocols that Patrick Mahomes has to go to. People have been asking, hey, is he going to have to miss this week? You've been in the newer concussion protocols. Do you miss a game being in a concussion protocol?
You don't have to miss a game. It all depends on what you're going through. If you get cleared by a doctor, and it has to be a independent doctor. It can't be the team doctor or anything based on what the PA's done with the players. Because you could probably... You okay?
Keep going. It broke.
You could probably, you know, some doctors, not the doctors for the Titans, but some doctors be like, yeah, he's fine when he might not be fine. So you have to get a neutral site doctor to say, okay, he can play. He's passed his test. Everyone goes through a baseline when they play football, especially in the NFL. You get your baseline. Then when you get hit in the noggin, you have to reach and beat those baselines, hit it even or beat it to be able to go back in the field to play with no concussion like symptoms.
The poor guy got ragdolled, right? His
neck got ragdolled. I mean, it looked really bad.
I thought it didn't look bad until you were seeing him get up and you're like, oh, this is
his like, body. He was literally whipped around by his neck.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm wondering is if it was from his arm, you know, grabbing his neck, if that's what did it. Like, it's not like his head. It didn't look like his head was hitting anything that hard.
Right.
That's why it was so crazy seeing him stand up. You're like, oh, this was a weird one of those weird, like it bad. Like, it's way worse than it looks.
Well, a lot of people get issues with head trauma stuff with whiplash. Whiplash is a big thing, like car accidents, stuff like that. People sometimes won't even hit their head. They're going back and forth. If your skull
moves your brain
fast enough, your brain can hit a certain part of your skull, adding a contusion. That's basically what a concussion is. And now I'm reaching a little bit. Your boy doesn't have a PhD. I was pre-med for half a semester, but I really wasn't.
That was a good explanation.
But it really is... It's going to be tough, man, watching him get up. But we have to go through these predictions.
Yeah, so I'm going to say I'm taking...
No insurance policies. You got to pick one.
I'm taking the Bills.
Holy shit.
I'm taking the Bills. I think every team has momentum going into the championship game. But I think the Bills have been hot, dude. Right. I think highly of Josh Allen. I think their offense can roll. And I think their defense is playing well. Matt Milano, he posted a little cigar photo after he was quoted saying... talking about stopping the run.
Yeah.
And saying, I think we got a good plan of stopping Lamar. And then he quote tweeted after the game and had a little stogie gift to go with it. That fired me up.
Did you?
I think the boys in Buffalo are going to upset the Kansas City Chiefs. That's even with Patrick Mahomes playing. I think the Chiefs are going to do everything possible to get Mahomes playing. I think Mahomes is going to do everything possible. If not, hey, anything is possible. Chad Henne.
Yeah.
Old savvy vet.
Michigan guy, Michigan legend.
The Chiefs are tough, man. They're a matchup nightmare. I mean, they got Tyreek Hill. They got, I mean, just blazing speed everywhere. Travis Kelce, you can't really guard him. He's a stud.
He breaks dudes off.
But I like the Bills.
Sammy Watkins was out with a calf in this past game 2 days ago or yesterday. And, I mean, there's a chance he might come back. Obviously he was top five pick in my draft 2014. And it's all dependent. I think this game is totally dependent on whether Patrick Mahomes plays or not.
So you got Chiefs if Mahomes is playing.
I 100% have the Chiefs if Mahomes is playing.
Thank God, because we need him to come on the pod, and I don't want him to hear that we rooted against him.
No, I think we bet against him. I just think at the stage of the game that Pat's playing at, with the coaching he has, with the players he has surrounding him, it's hard to sit there with sound mind and bet against the Chiefs. But the Sist has done it. You've bet against the Chiefs.
Fair. What about Packers-Saints? Or Packers-Bucks?
Bucks. Saints, that's a little bit of a deal with Drew Brees. Is he really retiring? Is it official?
Yeah, it's official.
I remember at the Pro Bowl in
I don't know if it's official, but it's all it's been said.
At the Pro Bowl 2016, watching his kids just fighting the entire time on the sidelines. They're all like the three boys wrestling.
Yeah.
They fell onto the field a couple times during the plays. Like that's how much fun those kids were having.
They seem like studs, just catching passes from Tom Brady after the game. Dude,
they seem like awesome kids. But unfortunately they lost. I'm not betting against Tom any circumstance. I think Aaron, Davante Adams, Adam Jones, those guys, like, is it Adam Jones? Aaron Jones. He's had a stud couple of years, but this year's been running really well. Packers obviously lost their all-pro tackle, David Bakhtiari. Guy's a stud. Good person, too. But I don't know how you bet against Tom. You know what I'm saying? Like, until Tom proves that you should bet against him, I got the Bucks.
Well, the boys beat him last year.
Yeah, they did.
In New England.
And he went to a totally different team with no OTAs and was able to get the Bucks, who I think it's their first time in the playoffs for a while, too. Maybe 2005 or something like that? 2006?
Yeah.
All right. Garrett's got six. I got five.
I think it's a tough one, man.
I think the Bucks go. Here's the thing. I'd like to see the Bucks go to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's nothing against the Packers.
I am rooting, and here's where I have my insurance policy.
Love that.
I am rooting for the Bucks because I want my boy Lavonte David to go to a Super Bowl. Everyone knows I have a lot of bias towards Lavonte. That's my boy.
Yeah.
I want him to go. I also want Ndamukong Suh. Shout out to Huskers. I would love to see them go to a Super Bowl after Tampa Bay hasn't been in a long time and Tom comes and they're all doing it in their first year.
Yeah.
I do think the Packers will beat them. If I was a betting man, I would bet on the Packers. But I'm rooting for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Packers are just insanely tough, dude. Aaron
Rodgers.
Who's
your pick?
I told you my pick. If I was a betting man, I bet the Packers, but I'm rooting for the Buccaneers. So, hey, whoever wins, I get to be...
You're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
You want to put money on it?
No, I mean, that's illegal. We wouldn't do that.
That was a test. You're welcome. You're welcome, NFL. You're welcome, Goodell.
We can bet a stick of gum.
No, I don't think we can. Or I think the most we can bet is $250. I don't know.
I think you could in fantasy leagues if it's like the buy-in is like less than $20 or something like that. I don't know. There's weird gambling rules. I try to stay away from it all.
Yeah, you just got the whole gambling thing is not
until we're done though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I'm ready to sell out.
Yeah,
for probably Penn National.
I'm willing to lose a lot of money when I'm done playing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'd gamble a little bit, but not right now.
Barstool Sportsbook.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Devin White.
Hey, you sweet boys and girls, it's your dad. I'm going to talk to you about bare bottom clothing. I'm not talking about that bare bottom. I'm talking about that bare bottom clothing. B-E-A-R clothing. If you want affordable pants, shirts, and all the different clothing with the best fabrics at a premium price, this is the place you need to go to right now. And the boys are going to help you out. Because a lot of things going on right now with the way the world's headed and stuff like that. The thing that sucks the most after you get your little value, your little shopping cart together, what's the worst thing? It's the shipping costs. Right? But if you use the boys on barebottomclothing.com with those premium pieces on your body to make you feel special and use the code BUSSIN, you know what you get, Will?
What do you get?
You get free shipping.
And
that is special. These guys do all the technology. They do every single thing you possibly need to make sure that you're wearing a lasting, comfortable, breathable outfit every single time you put on bare bottom clothing. These guys got you, and we got you just by using the code BUSSIN to get free shipping at barebottomclothing.com. And that, like I said, we're not talking about bums. We're talking about bears. B-E-A-R clothing.com. Back to the show, you sweet little chicklets.
For a limited time, for each of you who buy a bare bottom, they will donate a protective mask to a first responder, teacher, or someone you need.
With a damn cigar on this podcast, dude, I had a headache.
I was ripping a stogie all podcast.
Hey, I like that setup.
Hey, I tell you what, I've gotten Lavonte on here before. That's my boy. I don't know how much he's told you about us.
About us. I don't know what you told about our
relationship. But we had him on when Tampa came to Nashville. Last year when you decapitated our punter, Lavonte came on the day before. So if you're ever in Nashville, you're going to have to come on this thing, bro.
Yeah, I will.
We're We're still getting a couple things set up, so we'll be ready to go. But I appreciate you coming on. And hey, I want to apologize. I did not know before I sent you the photo that your horse had passed away.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I didn't even know. It's all good.
Okay. Taylor's introducing you and kind of threw that in there. You know, he's an avid horse rider. His horse passed away. I was like, you're joking me. I literally sent him a photo of him riding a horse, and now I feel like an asshole.
No.
Look at that.
Beautiful. LSU, yeah. Dude. I love that. Are we rolling right now? Or we're good? We could just go if we wanted to, right? Who's not in here? Garrett and Jack? Don't worry about it.
Dude, how's it feel? Dude, you're going to the NFC Championship, bro, in year two.
Oh, we're doing this. We're going.
No, I'm just doing a little small talk. I guess that's a good question.
That's actually the only question right now. That's the only question to ask right now. NFC Championship in year two.
Dude.
It really don't feel like nothing. Like, I don't know. I guess the NFC Championship don't really feel like a championship. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Super Bowl is the championship.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, it ain't everything. You know what I'm saying? I want everything.
So you're saying you never cared at all about playing in the SEC Championship?
I mean, I always wanted to get there, but it's always like, you want to win a natty, and the SEC Championship is just part of winning the natty, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
I want to win a Super Bowl, and an NFC Championship comes with a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you want to get to that thing. You want the NFC Championship.
Like, goes for the season, NFC Championship. Nah, skip over that. Goes for the season, Super Bowl.
Right. Just like you were talking about the SEC Championship and everything. More than that, yeah. Dude. When you were starting to play the game, and I mean, I'm sure you envisioned this growing up, winning a Super Bowl the minute you fell in love with football. But as far as influences, what were those things for you growing up that were like, this person influenced me, that person influenced me, that made you become the person you are in football today?
Oh, I say it was always been just my mom and my grandmother, just having two powerful women in my life and just seeing how they, you know, carried themselves and, you know, how they raised everybody around them, such as my other cousins and, you know, their kids and everything. And, you know, and how important family was to them. So I think that was the biggest thing for me. And it just gave me a mindset of, you know, just, you know, do great in anything you do in life.
I saw, speaking of family, it seems like you have a very close family because I saw a photo of you having a huge amount of people at the game, which was awesome. It looked like your mom was in it. The people you've referenced, what game was that? It seems like you got them all tickets. Was that playing in New Orleans?
I had like 18 people in New Orleans this past weekend, but any home game, I got a suite that holds 20 and they fill it up every home game. So my family always come and support.
Oh, subtle flex. He got a suite fill it up with 20. Hey, I see you. He ain't even getting the player tickets. He wants the suite, dude.
That's a top 10 pick, baby. He's got all that money right now. When the weight goes up 5% every year, what's that thing, like 29? I already looked it up. You don't got to say nothing. But hey, I already looked it up. So you're good, dude. I tell you, with that kind of money, Brady's got to be in a suite right next to you. His beautiful family, Giselle, the whole crew. My growing up, I went to Michigan. I'm from Arizona, but I went to Michigan. Obviously, when you get to Michigan, all you hear about is Tom Brady. I had the opportunity to meet him one time, but never had the opportunity to play with him. There was a chance. People were talking about him coming to Tennessee. Love Ryan Tannehill, but I mean, being able to play with a guy like Tom Brady is like pretty unbelievable. What's that been like with him?
I mean, it's been phenomenal. You know, like you said, everybody loves Tom Brady. You know, coming in, being a Louisiana guy, obviously I always watched the Saints, but, you know, I kind of was a bandwagon fan. You know, I wanted to go with the winning team, so I always supported Tom Brady. And I think my biggest thing growing up watching him was, you know, how people say, like, MJ better than LeBron. I didn't get to witness the MJ era, so I'm going to ride with LeBron. So they got a lot of great quarterbacks from the past that they like to talk about, but I didn't get to witness those guys. So it's like, hey, I'm here with Tom Brady. I'm witnessing him. I'm finna give him his flowers now. But, I mean, in the locker room, man, I think, man, on and off the field, man, he a phenomenal guy. I think the number one thing about him is his leadership. He get everybody around him to buy in, and a lot of people can't do that. And he did that in less than 3 months with no offseason training. So he's a guy that's really respected.
Do you feel like that helps you with your growth? Because obviously Tom is getting older and who knows how much longer he's going to play, but you're somebody that's it's definitely going to be a great player in the league for a long time. Do you feel like learning from him has given you stuff in your toolbox to where you're going to become the leader that you are one day, and you're able to take things from him, from Levante, and those influences you have around you now?
Yeah, I think that's a major part, is just taking that from them. And I think the thing is always getting guys around you to buy in, because at the end of the day, 11 men got to take the field at one time. So it's not just old Tom Brady out there. He got the guys around him, from the old linemen to the running backs to the receivers, bought in. Because the one thing you know, if you're playing with a guy with like Tom Brady, it's only one expectation, and that's winning. And so that's how I wanted it to be, because Tom Brady not going to be here forever. So when it's my turn and everything is fully on me, like how it was with Ray Lewis, they knew that team was built off defense. They knew, hey, you come play with Ray Lewis, you know what type of football it was going to be. That's kind of the mindset. That's kind of the leadership role that I'm trying to get my team to. And the thing is, right now, I mean, we young on defense, especially from me to the secondary. You know, the front seven, besides me, it's kind of got a little age on them, but I just got to get everybody to buy in that I know that's, you know, still on a rookie contract that's going to be in Tampa Bay for a couple more years.
You talk about time always catching with everybody. Will brought up that people aren't there forever and taking the advantage of being with Tom, but you took away you ended someone's career yesterday. You took away Drew Brees, and that's, how does that feel? You grew up in Louisiana watching him. What was that feeling like? Yeah, I mean, obviously the guy's a living legend. The first time I played in the Superdome, I mean, you look across and you see the figure of Drew Brees. You play against Tom Brady,
that number
you
nine.
See the figure of Tom Brady, and it's like, it's those guys. It's the Aaron Rodgers you're going to see today. You see those guys, and you're like even as a football player, you're like, damn, dude, that's so-and-so. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was Drew Brees' last game. You picked him off and made a hell of a play, punched the shit out of number 12 to gain yardage. Like, it's got to be a surreal feeling knowing that it was his last game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's really crazy because, you know, him being the icon of Louisiana, he was always been the face of Louisiana, man. He did so much for the state and, you know, brought a lot of happiness and joy, you know, being able to watch the Saints, you know, always being in a position to win Super Bowls. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm on the field. I'm a man, you know, I got a family feed just how he does. And I had told my coach, you know, when we went up 20-23, I told him I'm going to put the dagger in him, you know. And I didn't know what type of play I was going to make, but I knew I was going to go out there and I was going to put the dagger in him. And, man, I just read the coverage, and I knew he was going to try to force feed Alvin Kamara at the end because, you know, that was probably like he was making – you know, he was a guy that can make a play out of nothing. So I seen Alvin Kamara just take off during up the scene, and that's the scene. And every time that he run that route out the backfield, the scene route, he get the ball. So I was ready to undercut the ball, and, man, that's what I did. But, shit, my biggest thing, I was trying to get in the end zone. I didn't care to score.
Hey, it looked like it. Did you saw it?
No, I did not see
the clip. Damn near punched number 12, whoever the Saints receiver is. He's like, I'm finna tackle him real quick. And Devin just, like, low-key punches him in the face to get him off like a Derrick Henry-esque stiff arm. And it did look like you were trying to get in the end zone. You didn't make it, but you put the dagger in them, boys, dude. It was awesome to see.
How far was it?
Yeah, how far was that return?
I was flying back home yesterday.
Like 26 yards.
He took it back. I mean, the entire squad was hype. I mean, they won the game after that. And it was an insane pick. He's like extended all the way, gets it on the fingertips, snaps it out of the air. I was like, oh, okay. That one's out there going.
So you got hands.
Yeah, I got hands. I'm on the hands team, you know?
Oh, yeah, but yeah, you're a frontline cat in the hands team.
Hey, but he told me. Hey, but listen, he always say be aggressive if the ball comes to you.
That's right.
You're taking it, huh?
They take me off the hands team. We do the hands team in practice. I'm like, all right, all the white guys, it's time to get off the field. Let the show happen, dude.
let the show happen. Go ahead.
You got some?
No, I've got everything.
I wanted to ask about the difference from year one to year two. Last year you had Jameis. This year you've had Tom Brady. What is the difference in a dynamic that they bring playing with both of them now that you've seen them both? Because Jameis was at the Saints now, and that's a question that I'm curious your thoughts on.
I think the number one thing with Jameis is he was so athletic, and, you know, he believed in himself so much that he tended to, like, you know, it tended to hurt him at times, whether with Tom, he's so poised and he done been in every situation that he's going to manage everything the perfect way. And he knows that, you know, his defense can be lights out, and he can depend on his defense. He don't have to try to force anything because he know, hey, they can go get a stop. They can go get a turnover at any moment. And I think that's the main thing, man. When you got a guy that's a game manager, man, it's hard to be beat because every time that you punch, he going to punch back. And, you know, he know what to do.
When you start talking about guys that have been in every single situation, one guy easily comes to mind is Aaron Rodgers, guys you're going to play against this week. When you see Aaron Rodgers on film, what kind of comparable attributes does he have to Tom Brady? What can you expect from him? Because they got firepower, dude. They've got, yeah. You guys are going up there, right? You guys are going up in the cold?
Yeah.
From Louisiana to Tampa. You're going up to the be wearing long sleeves, aren't you?
Hell
no. Nah, he's a middle linebacker, baby.
That was a test. But what do you see out of Aaron Rodgers that not necessarily scares the shit out of you, but like you're like, damn, I got to be on my P's and Q's for this?
I just say, Aaron Rodgers, he's a smart quarterback, and he also, you know, the difference from him and Tom, Aaron Rodgers can move. Like, he if he have to run it, he'll try to run it to get the first down. More so in the red zone, he'll run it in for the touchdown. But other than that, he's looking to throw the ball. But, man, nothing really scares me about him, man, especially we played him already. You know, I know how we need to attack him. My defensive coordinator know how he needs to tackle him, and he know how to base this game plan off the last game plan when we defeated them in our stadium. And we know it's a different game. That game doesn't matter, but we also know how to match up with them. You know, what's our strengths against them, what's our weakness against them. But, I mean, my thing, I remember that game like it was yesterday. I took it very personal because the running back, number 33, Aaron Jones. Very hot. He was hot at the time. He was hot. And it's just like, man, it's a standard. Like, you can't, you know, I'm not gonna be like the other dudes that he faced. Like, you're not gonna put me on your highlight tape. And that was just my whole mindset. That was Vontae's whole mindset. And anytime that we have played great running backs, me and Levante managed to get the best of them. And that's the thing that I like. We always, you know, set each other up for success. Like, I had a run through tackle for loss on a pitch. He had one to the left side on for tackle for loss on Green Bay. And I remember it just like yesterday because, you know, we was out there having fun. And, you know, you never forget the time that you're having fun. So I know it's going to be another challenge. You know, everybody talking about going to play in the snow, cold, or whatever. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still football. When I was in college, we had to go play in Arkansas. It was like 20-some degrees. You know, you just adapt because at the end of the day, when you're on the field, you're not thinking about it. It's when you're on the sideline. That's when you're really cold.
Yeah.
Speaking of taking things personal, do you feel like losing to the Saints twice, Jameis eating a W, Sean Payton dancing, like all that stuff that goes on? You guys are in the same division. Did you guys feel disrespected going into this game and knowing in the back of your mind, hey, we're going to get our respect in this game?
Yeah, we felt very disrespected, man. Those guys, like, they when they beat other teams, it wasn't really the same vibe. But when they beat us, it was like, oh, man, like they won the championship already. And, you know, it was a lot of tweeting, a lot of Instagram slander posts at our guys. And, I mean, it was all good because one thing, Mike Evans said, he said, we're going to meet them in the playoffs and we're going to see who's going to get the last laugh in it. And it's crazy that it set up where we got to meet them in the playoffs. And, I mean, we ain't really even laughing about it, man. We knew we was going to go in there and handle our business. And now we on to the next. You know, we could be doing what they was doing, but instead we getting ready for the next game, which is a big one.
When Tom Brady made the decision to go to Tampa Bay, it was obvious that the Saints and the Bucks were going to go face off three times.
Yeah, there was no doubt.
Everyone knew. Everyone knew that was going to happen. Little change of pace, dude. And I know Will made a big, big mistake before we started this podcast, sending you a picture of you riding a horse. A lot of football players find love for football early, right? Guys play Pop Warner. I played 1 year Pop Warner. I didn't play again until high school. But a lot of guys find their identity in football. That's like their thing. That's who they are. And you grew up around horses. You bought your first horse, what, $500? Your uncle gave you some money or something like that?
Yeah, $500.
How'd you find that passion? What about horses for you? Because your boy I grew up on a ranch, 105 horses, quarter horses, did reining when I was younger, that whole thing. I can saddle horse, do everything but ride it, baby. I can do anything but ride it. And I just want to know, where'd you get that passion? How'd that come up for you?
I mean, where I'm from in Cotton Valley, man, it's a small town. And, like, that's all they do. Like, you know how kids be like, oh, I'm finna go to the park and play basketball. That ain't what they do for fun. They ride horse. Hey, we ride late on. You know what I'm saying? So
really?
So it's awesome. Like I had to get into that culture. I had to get into it where I fit in. Like, if I want to have fun, I need to be on the horse and I need to be with the boys.
Where is this in Louisiana? Like, what part? Like, how far away from Baton Rouge is this?
It's like 4 hours away from Baton Rouge. It's closer to Shreveport, Louisiana.
And the way to fit in there was to ride horses.
Yeah, and it's really
be with the boys and ride horses. I love that.
I love that, like, dude.
It's on a whole nother level right now, like, because especially with me really turning the horse business up some more because I was able to buy a lot of horses.
Everybody getting
horses, everybody still getting horses. And I mean, it's kind of unique. Like, I throw a trail ride, man, I can bring out so many people, and I don't even have a field to fit all these people. And that's how crazy it is.
Are you trying to get a horse to, like, the Kentucky Derby or something one day? Or, like, are you trying to get in, like, the racing business?
See, on my next contract, I like to get one at the
Let's go.
Hey, but I got some standard breads, though, which is a smaller type of not quarter horse thoroughbred, but it's like lesser money, but it still makes money. Different type of horses on the racetrack. I got four of them on the racetrack. Hopefully they can bring me a couple hundred thousand, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I love it, dude. Already finding a business this early in your career. It's actually extremely smart.
That's a super smart thing to do, is make sure you have some income coming outside of football. Cause a lot of dudes, man,
yes,
a lot of dudes just get the miced out the watches. They buy the Range Rover. Cause that's what you buy for whatever reason. Don't do that. You buy horses. It's unbelievable.
Creating a business. Just like we got the pod.
Right.
Four NFL players.
There's a plantation, just up the road over here where I think every single Kentucky Derby horse has a bloodline to that area. It's like, it's, you know, just down the road, 5-6 miles away. That's very, very cool. Kentucky Derby would be a huge one. That's all thoroughbreds, right?
Yeah, that's all. They need to let me host. I seen they let Von Miller host one year. They need to let me host because I can really talk about
who
it.
Do we got
to
talk to?
Hey, what's hosting? How do you host?
Hang on. We got to get Devin White hosting. What are you wanting to host?
The Kentucky Derby?
The Kentucky Derby. Like, I had went and did the Louisiana Derby that's in New Orleans, and I was a good host there. Like, you know, you're going to show, talk to the people, you walk around, you know, you just do all the hullabaloo.
Yeah. Interview people, how you doing?
We will use this clip and pub you and try to get to the Kentucky Derby Devin White.
I can really talk horses. That's the crazy thing. I know Von Miller, he in the chickens. Like, so what y'all bring him to the Derby for? Y'all need me.
Isn't that wild that Von's in the chickens? He has like a huge chicken farm.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Yeah, he's in some stuff right now.
He's in some stuff right now. Have you heard, has it come out whether he's been like...
I have no clue.
I have no idea what he's trying to do.
I read the stuff. I'm like, oh, this looks a little, you know,
some dicey stuff.
I don't want to read too much into it.
I will say I've been around Vaughn a handful of times. He's always been super nice.
Yeah.
I've never had an issue with him. Don't know what's going on. That's as far as we'll get into that. You know what I'm saying? This podcast is for the boys, right? We're not here to slander anybody except for Ravens fans right now, because we're in absolute war with them.
We've been jabbing at Ravens fans,
but it's all love.
Before we let you go, I have this thing where I can't do anything Buccaneers-esque. I can't do nothing without pubbing my boy Levante, because it's absolute bullshit that he never makes a Pro Bowl. He's the most underrated player in the past decade defensively.
Wow.
Do you feel like anybody is messing with you guys as a duo in the league?
Nah, is you speaking from just inside linebackers, outside linebackers, cornerback duos, what type of duos?
Well, it has to be inside.
Inside backer duos. Yeah. But it seems like you want to go out and say ain't no duo, period, messing with you and Levante.
That's basically what I was getting at. I feel like we the best. And you made a huge point, man. I ain't gonna lie. I had went and looked at Levante's stats and Bobby Wagner's stats, and man, Levante got him a lot of categories besides the winning part.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you can't take away greatness that a guy is showing year in and year out over W's, because, like I said earlier, it's a 22 people, offense and defense, got to go out there and contribute to that. But you know, 5-4 bring it every game.
Every game, bro.
His stats showing it, and his leadership, everything that he brings to the team, man, it's unbelievable. Like, if he was in any other program, like a winning program, man, he'll probably be an All-Pro every year. Because I know wins and having games on TV, I know it comes with it. It definitely does.
Yeah, it does. And it does suck because I feel like I let him down every year. I'm like, hey, we're getting you to the Pro Bowl. Like, I'm shouting from the mountaintops all the time. And I followed you guys closely this year. And obviously, I see your stat line. And you, I mean, yours is incredible. 140 tackles, 9 sacks before this game. You had an all-pro Pro Bowl-esque year as well. I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, man, Devin, hey, he had a hell of a year, too, because Levante was just below him in a couple stats. But it's like you want Levante. Yeah, you want him to finally get something. It's just every year, bro, there's like a snub. Like, you guys, it's crazy that neither of you made either of the lists of All-Pro and Pro Bowl, and you guys have probably better stats than every linebacker out there.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. But our whole thing was this year is just you match my energy, I match your energy. Just like last night when we come out of halftime, I was like, bro, we ain't made a big play yet. So he was like, hey, let's put a stack on it. Whoever makes the first big play, they got to reset.
Oh, hey, let's go with that.
Hey, when I got that pick, I came to the sideline. He said, damn.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
Making money, making picks, dude. That's what it's all about.
How great a Pro is. Man, Levante played punt last night. We rotated on punt last night because we had Jack Sitchy go down. And, man, guy in year 9, and he willing to step up to go out there and cover a punt. So that tell you what type of pro he is, man.
Well, I'll tell you who else will step up and go on punt is Will Compton, who's also.
You're fucking right, dude. Fucking, I am a punt demon. Let's fucking go.
He'll go in too. Damn right. All right. That's awesome, dude. No, having the selflessness that he is. I tell Auk all the time, put me on punt, and he won't do it.
Yeah, it's a little different.
You've been a part of the conversation. Just a bunch of selfless guys, am I right? The three of us right now?
Are you going to be standing on the table to keep Levante in Tampa after this year? Because my man is up, and he is in line for a nice little payday.
Man, he got to get it here. I'm throwing all the chips in and telling them I play well because Levante play well. I feed off Levante David, and I just want him to finish his career with me, man. Derrick Brooks had the same thing with Hardy. Like, they was a duo.
Right.
So I need me and Levante to continue to be that duo until he's ready to walk away from the game. And then I'll take over the rings by myself, and they can bring somebody in, and then I'm gonna be the big dog then, and you know they can learn from under me just to how I'm learning from Levante. But I feel like right now my career going so good because Levante here, man. Because our DBs, man, you think about this: the oldest guy in the room is in his third year, so they really haven't never had nobody to lean on, and you know, just walking through, kind of give them that extra push, or whatever it is. But I got Levante, he in year 9, he's seen everything. He know all the route combinations. He know everything. He know what team's about to run. And, I mean, I'm happy that I can play with him because it makes my job easier. Even though, until he's ready to walk away, I need him here in Tampa.
Dude, that's awesome. Hey, we appreciate you for coming on, bro. Thank you for talking about all of it. When you're in Nashville and you come and try to get that bloodline that Taylor's talking about of a horse, you need to come sit on the bus with the boys, man.
I will, most definitely.
All right, man. Appreciate you having coming on, man. Thank you very much.
All right, good luck.
All right, Dev.
Big shout out to you guys. If you enjoyed this episode and love and support Bussin' with the Boys, go to whatever podcast platform you're on and subscribe to us. Leave a review, rate 5 stars. If you're already subscribed, unsubscribe and resubscribe again. It helps the boys climb the charts. And again, we wouldn't be doing this and can't do this without you guys and all of your support. We also have a YouTube channel. If you'd like to watch our show or these episodes, they're on YouTube at Bussin' with the Boys. We're also on social media at Bussin' WTB. You can follow us everywhere. Go buy our merch. You guys know that whole deal, but thank you so much. We are forever grateful for you. The biggest of hugs and tiniest of kisses for the boys, always and forever.